On Mix 102.3, it is the Ali Clark Breakfast Show with Max Burford. It is 11 past 8. Look, we've had some pretty big guests on the show. We had a lady who was hit on the head by an elephant. We've had a man who ate a bucket of chicken wings in 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. Exciting he was times. Good. Tough to beat. Magpie Man. Don't forget Magpie Man.
Oh, Magpie Man was good.
Now we've got the Prime Minister of Australia.
It's Albanese. Albanese on a Tuesday morning.
Yes, that's right, the Prime Minister of the country, Anthony Albanese. Good morning.
Turn the microphone on for the Prime Minister.
Do you know what? Shane Lowe has been so nervous about you coming in, not just because you come in with, you know, the federal police.
Was that him singing?
Yeah, that's him singing.
Voice of an awesome angel. Effort.
Thank you very much. That's nice of you.
Oh my God.
He's blushing.
He's nervous because when the governor came in last year, we tricked him and told him you had to bow all the time.
So he kept doing it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, no one bows before me, which is a good thing. We're an egalitarian country.
Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but we are giving people the biggest decision to make of their life. You make a few decisions, I suppose, in Canberra.
Yeah.
But we're giving people the chance to take their family to Disneyland. Or
you can leave the family at home, just tickets for two, to Vegas. What would you pick, Prime Minister?
Oh, you've got to go with Disneyland.
I've done both,
but if you take the family, here's the big tip too. If you stay at the Disney Hotel, you can get in to Disneyland earlier.
Look at this guy.
Earlier.
I picked you as a Minnie and a Mickey.
And get on the rides early.
There you go.
And so you get to do all the really good rides without waiting in the huge big queue. So there's a tip, listeners.
You're a big Disney head.
I've been twice. The first time I went by myself.
That sounds like the saddest thing to happen at the happiest place on
Earth.
It
was awesome.
Was it?
And then Universal Studios. It was great.
All right. Well, there you go. Mix1023.com.au.
Growing up, I never went to theme parks.
Yeah. So you made up for it.
And it's this deep psychological trauma that I have from being the son of a single mum and never getting to go, because all the kids when I grew up.
Yeah.
Would all go, like the council workers and stuff like that. They'd go to the Christmas parties at Luna Park in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I never got to go. So when I got old enough, I was determined to never miss a theme park. And so I'm over it now. I've got through that therapy. Vegas is pretty good too, mind you.
There we go. I reckon I could get you around. We'll talk more later.
Yeah, before this is out, we want the one story from the Prime Minister that happened in Vegas.
I want the Vegas story from the Prime
now,
Minister.
Now, you have been in town a couple of times. You were in town yesterday announcing the Port Manython Hydrogen Hub, heaps of jobs, heaps of expenditure in green energy. You were in town last week to drive the yes vote. If I gave you a magic wand, a Disney wand, right now, Prime Minister, and took you back months and months and months to when you really announced and started this drive to the referendum, would you have done anything differently?
Well, you can always look at things that you could do better, but is it the right thing to do? Absolutely. It is the right thing to do, and it's always difficult to change the Constitution, but Indigenous Australians have asked for this. They had years and years leading up to the Uluru Statement in 2017. Previous governments said that they would have a referendum. Going back to John Howard, said he'd have a referendum, and of course it never happened. We haven't had one this century. So for those people like Noel Pearson and Tom Carmer and Arnie Pat Anderson and others who've been campaigning for this for year after year after year, eventually you had to give the Australian people a say, and that's what we're doing. And I'm still hopeful that when people look at what the question is, it's such a simple, gracious request just for two things: to recognise First Nations people in our nation's founding document, and secondly, just to give them a non-binding advisory committee to advise on matters that affect them.
But
that's just common courtesy.
Do you understand or accept that perhaps the way this has been communicated to the majority of us, that it has allowed for deep, deep division? You know, I was walking in Bowdoin and Roz, who was out there, she was putting up her yes call flutes for the fourth or fifth time because they've been ripped down. Driving down Sir Donald Bradman Drive, if you do it right now, there is graffitied yes. There was awful abuse hurled at people who were here for the launch of the no vote. Do you accept that the way that it has been communicated by your government, and that you didn't go into this with both parties on board in a bipartisan effort, that you have maybe shot this good idea in the foot?
No, I don't. We tried, Ali, and the sign was at the beginning. Bear in mind, the beginning of the term, Peter Dutton appointed Julian Lisa as the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Affairs and the Shadow Attorney General. So the person in charge of the specific areas, both of them, the law and Indigenous Affairs. He had a history going back, a proud history, going back to 2012 at least, of engagement in this. I took that as a positive sign. And I was with Julie and Lisa on Sunday at the Uniting Church in Ashfield, launching the United Church's Yes campaign. We have business, we have Indigenous groups. Over 80% of Indigenous Australians support a yes vote.
But then why are all the polls saying this will absolutely fail? Like, where is that communication 56, breakdown?
56-36 yesterday.
And has it surprised you that the conspiracy theorist has been so venomous?
Well, some of the conspiracy theories, this is about one world government and it's about a whole range of new taxes will be paid and you'll lose your backyards. We've seen those scare campaigns before. We saw it with marriage equality, that it was going to end and interfere with the marriage of existing men and women who were married. We saw it with the apology to stolen generations. All of those fear campaigns, when they were passed and through, of course, were shown to have no substance. The fear campaign here is also, I believe, very strongly not valid. There's nothing to fear here. There's only something to gain, nothing to lose. And this simple proposition, it's a decision was made by Peter Dutton after the Aston by-election to say vote no. I guess there were signs there. He was the only existing member of parliament who walked out on the apology to stolen generations. That was a unifying moment, though. And this should have been a unifying moment. And I believe that if Australians vote yes, it will bring the country together. And one of the things that is occurring, though, is that we're having a greater debate about the gap which is there between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians than we've had for 50 years. And so people will be much more conscious about the eight-year life expectancy gap. When you say to people, you know, there's more chance of an Indigenous young male going to jail than going to university, that's a wake-up call for us to do something better, to do something different. And a starting point is listening to Indigenous Australians themselves. And that's why there isn't a single person who's involved from the Indigenous communities who was involved in the development of the Uluru Statement from the Heart who has said to me, nah, let's just kick it down the road again, which is what we've done for a long period of time. Let's give Australians a say.
Well, look, stick around and we're going to give you more of a say next. We might even let you get to choose a song.
Yes.
Okay.
Our boss is going to come running around here. I figure you're the biggest boss in this country, so that'll work, won't it?
Imagine our boss telling off the boss of Australia.
I worked as I did a few DJ gigs.
MC Albo in the house.
DJ Albo was the name. Thank you.
It's the Ali Clark Breakfast Show. I mix.
It is the Ali Clark Breakfast Show at 25 past eight.
We are joined with, I mean, just an average Tuesday morning with none other than the Prime Minister of this country.
It's Albanese.
Yeah, no, seriously.
You have to play that again.
How very dare you.
The bodyguards have taken a few steps closer to the studio, must be admitted, I tell you what.
Prime Minister, this weekend, AFL Grand Final. You're a Hawthorn man, first of all.
I am a Hawthorn man. It's been a sad period. But we had many, many good years.
This weekend, will you be Anthony Alba Lionese or Anthony Alba Pionese?
Oh, I like that.
I've got to make the call. I'm going to the game. I'm torn. I just hope it's a good game. So many of the grand finals have been blowouts. So
I'm going to need you to pick one, though.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, I'm going to go for a draw.
No! Always wanting the votes, does the PM.
Well, most of us in the studio are going for the Lions. We have a horse in this race. I wanted to know if you have any... I mean, it's a slightly specific question, but do you have a favourite Brisbane Lions dominant ruckman from 1997 to 1999?
Of course I do, Matthew Clark.
Oh, yes! And why? Why would he be your favourite Prime
because
Minister?
Because you told me he was.
on a scale of dreaminess, though, Matthew Clark versus Peter Malinauskas. I mean, come on.
No, no one beats Mally.
There it is.
Mally's made it more difficult for everyone in political life.
What's it like? You go to an announcement with him yesterday even. You're standing there and you have to know that everyone there has seen Mally in his speedos and been pretty impressed with it.
Well, the good thing is Mally keeps his shirt on at the press conferences. So that makes it much more doable. But he's a lovely bloke too. We get on exceptionally well and I think he's doing a great job here in SA.
Christy has called from Blakeview on 131823. Christy, you are on with the Prime Minister. Do you have a question for him?
G'day, Christy.
I do. Good morning, Prime Minister. How are you?
I'm very well.
That's good. My question is, do you have any regrets as Prime Minister? And if you could change anything, what would it be?
Oh, gee whiz. Look, I think my mentor was a fellow called Tom Uren, and he was an amazing guy who was a minister in the Whitlam and Hawke government. And he was a former POW under the Japanese for 4 years. So he was captured on Timor and did Changi and the Burma Siam Railway, was in Japan. And he used to say to me two things. He used to say, son, you've got to learn something new every day and you've got to get better every day. So I all the time try to analyse what I'm doing. Can I do it better? How could I have done it better? And it's always the case that you've got to try to improve. And I think being in Parliament a long time, like when I became Prime Minister, I benefited from having been a minister in that period between 2007 and I was Deputy Prime Minister in 2013. So you think things through and all the time you can do things better, I think, and I just try to improve each and every day.
What's the coolest thing that you got the moment you became Prime Minister? Yes. I mean, we were joking before about the bodyguards and all that sort of stuff.
40 of them you have.
Well, not all the time, but...
No, rotate, they're rosters.
But what was the time where you must have, as a person, you know, and I think most people know, you know, you grew up as a houseo. You know, your mum, like, did the most incredible job to give you an education. She knew how important that was. What was that moment when you became the Prime Minister of this country where you sat back and went, oh, look at this. This is amazing.
Well, it was pretty quick because on the Monday after the election was May 21, so Monday morning, 9 a.m., we get sworn in. By about, well, before midday, we're on the plane going to the Quad Leaders meeting in Tokyo.
Of course.
And so it was, talk about hit the ground running. Mm. So I walk into a room and I'm with President Joe Biden, Prime Minister Modi of India and Prime Minister Kishida of Japan. And it was like, okay.
we're away.
This is real. Off we go. But on the plane on the way up as well, we had... briefings from the head of the Defence Force, head of Foreign Affairs, head of all the departments.
Yeah,
it was a pretty intense first few days. Yeah. And I think that really helped because it didn't give me time to think too much about mundane things. It was straight into
it.
Into
the big stuff.
And with decisions to be made. And so it became very real very early.
Well, look, as the Prime Minister of the country, we will give you a choice here that not many people get. You get to choose this next song because I know you then have to leave the studio and move on with your day. What song would you like to walk out of this studio with?
Well, given I'm about to walk, The Proclaimers. 500 miles.
Have you actually seen them?
I saw them at the Enmore Theatre, which is in my electorate, a long time ago. At the time when they had that this was their big hit, but they had the first album is awesome with the two twins looking at each other. I've still got it on vinyl, and I've got Sunshine on Leith as well, the second album. And the great thing about the gig was that everyone was jumping up and down, very excited, and the floor gave way at the Enmore Theatre. And people just disappeared about 6 feet down. The band kept playing. They kept playing and people kept dancing. And I was like, oh, well, there's people have disappeared over there.
Well, the thing that I absolutely
It's been
love.
Renovated since during the pandemic, by the way. It's now, I think, the floor's more solid, although it did happen again in recent years.
The thing I absolutely loved is while you're telling this story, the AFP have come in, your minders are waving, you've got to now disappear because you're off to a very, very busy day.
Oh, they're pushy, aren't they?
But you're too deep in a proclaim the story.
DJ Albo, thank you.
You've got to focus.
There it is.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Thank you very much, Prime Minister.